Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of That's Bonkers, Bruh, where we talk about the strange and unusual, the interesting, and anything downright bonkers. My name is Mitch.
And I'm Kelsey.
And we're back at it again.
With episode four.
Five.
Five. Damn it.
Get it together. Out the gate, we're already screwing things up.
I already screwed it up. Why was I thinking number four? Maybe it's because I keep saying to people, oh, we have four episodes out. So the number four is in my brain?
Must be.
Gosh, I'm dumb. Well, look at us, five. Here we go. We're on a roll.
Number five.
Wow. Mitch, I have a question.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Have you ever looked at somebody and just the look of their face makes you want to give them a knuckle sandwich?
Just want to put one of these in their suck hole.
Yeah, exactly. Have you ever experienced that?
Probably. Let's be real. Like, there's just like there's just something about you that I just want to.
Yeah, you just want to rear up and just pop them.
Pop them in the mouth.
Yeah, that's how I feel about my topic today, Ruby Frankie. I want to fight her. I do.
Let's have a girl fight club.
I do. That's how I feel. So
I know that it's been storming around TikTok for quite a while now, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been on my side of TikTok, but a lot of people that I have brought this up to, it seems like a lot of people haven't heard of it. I think maybe it's just on my side of TikTok because we're from Utah, and so is this girl, and so this lady, this shitbag, whatever you want to say. And so that's why I've been seeing it, I guess, more. But a lot of people actually haven't heard about it. And I'm not going to lie, it's a pretty heavy case. But I've been following it for months now. And so I've just wanted to talk about it on here. Because now the case is closed. The sentencing has happened. It's over and done with. But I've just invested so much of my time learning about it already, and I don't know, I just kind of want to like bring attention to it because it's such a horrible case and I hate this person and I just want the world to know.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I don't have the TikTok.
Nobody calls
and
it that.
I know, but the so I haven't, I don't get some of the, a lot of the news that I get is from you saying I saw something on TikTok.
Yeah.
And but this was one that I did at least go look a little bit into it online about what was going on. But you're right, it's heavy. It's hard because it has to do with kids, right? Yeah.
So trigger warning, we will lead into that. On this one, there is some child abuse in this story. But it's pretty crazy. It's just a crazy story all around. It's shocking. And so, yeah, I just felt the need to cover it. But yeah, with that in mind, should I get started on it?
Might as well get into it. Let's go.
Should we just jump right in, feet first? Oh, there's so much to this one. I've actually already listened to some podcasts about it already, like that other people have done, like when this case was first kind of unfolding. And truly, if you were really going to like dig into this and find every little bit of information and talk about every little thing, we could be here for 3 hours, but I'm not going to do that. We're going to I'm going to hit the bases and like summarize it, talk about the craziest parts. Yeah, because there's so much to this, where to even begin. So if you haven't heard of this person, her name's Ruby Frankie. She is was a mommy blogger. She had a YouTube channel called Eight Passengers because they have six kids, and then it was her and her husband. So it's kind of just like a family blog. And oddly enough, there are a lot of influencers in Utah. It's like a thing there.
Yeah.
Tons of influencers from Utah. Like, it's totally a thing. So yeah, it was kind of just like a YouTube channel about their life. She had some really extreme, like parenting views. And oddly enough, she had 2.5 million followers on this YouTube channel. But I think a lot of people were just following her and watching her because it is like watching a train wreck unfold.
Dumpster fire effect.
Yeah, where like you can't look away. It's so unhinged is the best way to describe it. It's just unhinged.
Yeah.
So before, like, the actual child abuse really began, she was doing a lot of crazy, weird parenting things that were upsetting a lot of YouTubers. Upsetting a lot of viewers. Like, she would do things like she took her kids' homework away as punishment and made them buy it back. She took Christmas away from them. They didn't have Christmas one year because she said they were ungrateful. Which to me, it sounds so traumatizing. I can't imagine being a little kid and you don't get Christmas. She's just like, oh, nope, just kidding. I'm going to take it all away. Like, they legitimately didn't get Christmas one year, even though they have tons of money.
That's wild.
So wild. I can't imagine. That's like what I live for, is like my kids' happiness, is like doing something fun for them. Like, it's so much work, but it's so exciting on Christmas and Easter, and like taking them to do fun things and seeing that excitement through their eyes. So I can't imagine doing that as a parent.
Yeah.
She did things like she took a bed away from her oldest son for a year and he had to sleep on a beanbag. One of her daughters forgot to take her lunch to school one day. And so the school called her. I think I told you about this. The school called her and was like, hey, your daughter forgot her lunch today. Like, could you drop one off? And she was like, nope, sorry. Like, that was her choice. She just is going to have to go hungry for the day. So just things like that where you're just like, what the hell, lady? What is wrong with you? Like, just a brat. This was before she got involved with a lady named Jody Hildebrandt. That's when the abuse really, really ramped up. And we'll get into that. But just to kind of set the scene of the type of person she is and how her YouTube channel was and how this all started out. Just to kind of give you an idea and paint the picture.
Yeah, like, I understand if you want to prove a point in some aspects of things, but don't make your kid go hungry because they forgot their lunch and this kid's probably 7.
Yeah, like, I can imagine. I would have so much anxiety if, like, I knew my kid wasn't going to get lunch that day. That would stress me out so much.
Yeah, like, you've told your kid to pick up their Nintendo off the ground 4 times and they haven't done it. So you take it and they're like, where's my Nintendo? And it's like, well, I put it away and you can't have it the rest of the day. Like, okay, I get that. Not let them starve.
I don't know. She's just, like, an a-hole. She just was, like, do stuff that was like, okay, lady. So to that point, a lot of people, it was raising red flags for a lot of people. A lot of her YouTube viewers had been calling DCFS on her for a number of years. Like, over the course of 4.5 years, Child Protective Services and the cops were called numerous times, and they did at least 15 visits to the Frankie home over the course of that time.
Jeez.
So she was on their radar. It wasn't like this just happened out of nowhere. It's like she was on the radar. But it sounds like it is pretty hard to get DCFS to really do anything. It has to be pretty extreme. And I think nothing was actively happening at the time that they showed up. Like, there was no proof. Nobody was, like, looking physically abused or anything like that. But, like, she was on the radar. So, like, this isn't something, you know, that just, like, all of a sudden everyone's, like, shocked. Like, oh, I can't believe this happened. When it happened, people were kind of like, yeah, I can kind of see it.
I got to ask the question.
Hmm.
Was this, I'm going to say it, this bitch, one of those that was, like, even on YouTube, almost, like, taunting people. That she's like, oh, yeah, got all these haters in my comments that are calling DCFS on me.
I actually don't know. I really haven't watched many of her videos. I've only seen, like, a couple clips here and there on TikTok.
Hmm.
But she definitely kind of gave the vibe that she was kind of gloating. Like, she would talk about, like, a punishment she did for one of her kids and kind of be, like, laughing about it. Like, she was really, like, proud of herself.
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of where I was going with it. Was she just, like, almost felt untouchable and, like, really narcissistic about the whole thing? And was just like, oh, I've got these haters that are watching my videos, but guess what? Like, you're still making me money.
No, I think she just thought she was untouchable. I mean, she's just like a rich white lady in Utah that probably thinks she can do anything and get away with it.
Ugh.
Honestly. I mean, that's obviously what she thought. That's why she took the abuse so far. And it does get pretty intense. Like, when I heard all the things that happened to these kids, it's mortifying. It's disgusting. So we'll get into that. I'm just setting the scene. So anyway, this is another case of religious extremism. I don't know if you guys have seen the documentary on Netflix, Sins of Our Mother. Me and Mitch watched that one. It was crazy.
It was wild.
Yeah, with Lori Vallow. If you haven't seen that documentary, go watch it. It's freaking insane. Lori Vallow actually sadly ended up murdering two of her kids for religious reasons. Basically, she thought that they were possessed by demons.
Zombies is what they called them.
Yeah.
Z's.
And it's just wild. That one's batshit crazy. That's a whole other topic. So way too many details to even get into. But this case is very similar to that. A lot of things that Ruby Frankie has said. A lot of like her recordings from jail. I listened to one where she was talking to her husband, a recording from jail. And it just kind of like sounded like a word salad with a lot of religious undertones to it. Similar to when you listen to Lori Vallow speak. And it's just so interesting that we've seen so many similar cases to this, with this like religious extremism where people take it way too far and too literal and do something crazy. So anyway, she's already crazy. We've established that she's already like doing things that are like off-colored with her kids, raising red flags, already not a fan. Then she hooks up with this lady named Jody Hildebrandt. Jody is a therapist. And from the sounds of things, from what I've gathered, a terrible person. She was really kind of the driving force for the abuse that happened with these kids. She's really like manipulative. There's actually been a lot of other people that have come forth and said, have spoken about how they were a client of hers and that she basically like ruined their life, like broke up marriages, made them feel like they were terrible. Her niece specifically suffered a lot of mental and physical abuse at the hands of her Aunt Jody for years. And she came out and has talked about it. So this lady is fully unhinged. So
it's so sad. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. No, but just so sad that they're like, that they're, this is a licensed clinical, I assume, yeah, psychologist, right, of, yeah, sorts. And people are going during a very difficult time as it is, right? Especially since we've had a mental health crisis on our hands, at least here in the U.S. for many years, amplified substantially with COVID-19. And then, people are trying to come to like figure their life out, and you're just gonna dump fuel onto the fire to make their life worse.
It's very unhinged. I don't even know what other word. It's just like, I really feel like she's a sociopath. Honestly, I truly feel like she's a sociopath and just like gets joy out of controlling people, because she's like a master manipulator. A lot of people, like I said, to go down the rabbit hole of all the details, we could be here for 3 hours. I'm just kind of giving the highlights. But if you were to like look into her, she's got like whole other stories about her too. Like, it's just insane. She actually did lose her license, her therapy license or whatever, for a period of time, because she was talking about a patient's, quote, pornography addiction. She tells everybody they have a pornography addiction, but I don't really think they do. She just like says that to make them feel bad. I don't know. It's insane. So anyway, she was talking about a patient of hers at church, and then she got in trouble for it because that's a breach of the doctor-patient
confidentiality. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she already got in trouble for that, got her license back at some point, and has just been a menace ever since. So in 2022, Ruby stopped doing YouTube and started working with a group called Connections as a, quote, coach. I don't know what that means. Is she a life coach? I hate when people are like, I'm a life coach. It's like, what are you even talking about? You don't even know what you're talking about. So she started working with this group, Connections, who has their own little YouTube channel and group. It's very culty. A lot of people call it a cult. That was ran by Jody. She moved in with Jody in this big house in Ivins, Utah, which is like southern Utah. And Jody kind of convinced Frankie that her and her husband needed to split up, that he was a sex addict and a bad person, and that they needed to split up. So they have been in separation for like a year, like haven't talked, haven't seen each other. So he actually, the dad of these kids that were abused, he didn't know any of this abuse was going on because they were in a separation and he hadn't seen his kids in over a year.
Well, what was he doing then?
I don't know. That's... A lot of people on the internet are like, where was the dad? Why is he not arrested? But again, I think he was just fully manipulated by Jody and Frankie. And they convinced him, like, hey, you have a problem. You need to work on yourself. We need to do this for our marriage. And you need to respect me and this decision and not come around for a year. Like, we're separated. So he didn't see his kids at all. And he didn't know what was going on with them. But, like, as a parent, that's not legally binding. It wasn't, like, a legally binding thing that he didn't have custody. It was just, like, an agreement between them. So, like, why wouldn't you drop in and, like, check on your kids or call and check on them? Like, why wouldn't you want to see them? I don't know. I don't know the inner workings of that or how they even convinced him to stay away.
Yeah, I would have a real problem with that. Like, I mean, imagine. Look. I understand that, sure, he could have been manipulated, and if this Jody was really as good as everyone says, then I guess that, you know, mind games could have been played or whatever. But being separated to try to work on yourself and then just, like, outright not seeing your kids for over a year...
Yeah, it's wild.
Like, I'm sorry, but there is nothing short of me being in a coma that would... deter me from seeing my kids for any duration like that.
Yeah.
That's wild to me. Like, what are you doing, Mr. Frankie?
I don't know. Doesn't have his life together. It's wild. So, just recently, now that the case is closed and everything, all these handwritten journal entries have come out. Handwritten journal entries from Ruby Frankie, talking about all the abuse that she's done. I mean, there's just like evidence upon evidence upon evidence, as if there wasn't enough physical evidence just looking at the kids. She like details it all in these journals. And a lot of these have been open to the public now. Some of it has been like covered up. Like they've been reading it on news stations and stuff. And a lot of it is covered. I'm not really sure why. I don't know if
it's like redacted, like keeping kids' names out of it, or like, yeah, if it's too descriptive.
I think maybe it was like too disturbing, graphic, some of it or something. But anyway, I have some of those entries here.
Oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, just to give you an idea of the shitbaggery that was going on. This one's kind of hard to read because it's her actual handwriting and it's weird. So yeah, I'm not going to say the kids' names. I do know the kids' names. And they're easy to find. There is a lot of places online that say them, but I don't really feel good about like putting their names out there even more. So I'm just going to say the like initials. So anyway, this was on July 10th of 2023. She said, it's R's birthday. He doesn't even know what month it is. E and R have been in so much deviant behavior. They won't control their bodily functions. They are both fuming. Their selfish, sinful lifestyle is being intervened upon. I told R he emulates a snake. He slithers and sneaks around, looking for opportunity when no one is watching, and then he scurries. If he wants to emulate the Savior, he needs to be 100% obedient with, I don't know what this word is. I can't read her handwriting. 100% obedient, no hiding. Okay, who calls her son a snake? So she's talking about her 10-year-old and 12-year-old, her daughter and son. Okay, that's just such a weird thing to say. They're little kids. Then, in an early entry in the journal dated on July 11th, 2023, Frankie recalled, quote, a big day for evil, when she wrote that her daughter, quote, manipulates me. In the same entry, Frankie later described a moment with her son, R, where she told him to stand in the sun with his sun hat. After she claimed he was defiant and refused to do so, Frankie wrote that her son's demons stay in the shade. So she pushed him into the sun and later harmed him with a cactus. So she would make them stand in the sun to like burn out the demons.
Boil out the demons.
And for those who don't know, in this part of Utah in the summer, it can get up to 120 degrees.
Yeah, it's, we're talking like Phoenix temperatures.
And this was in July.
Oh my gosh. So and these kids were sunburned in like 20 minutes.
Oh yeah, and there was easy. No sunblock. They would deprive them water and food for days and call it fasting. I don't think little kids should be fasting at all anyway, but this is not even what it was. She was like forcing them to go without food for days. She wouldn't give them water when they were out in the sun like that. There was no sunscreen. They had no shoes. They weren't allowed to wear shoes because they would run away. And the cement, when it's that hot in the desert.
Hot sand.
They would have like
blisters on their feet.
Blisters on their hands. Yeah. They got so sunburnt that they had blisters. So anyway, she said, I came back with a cactus poker. When I poke his back to get him in the sun, R doesn't even flinch. Frankie wrote, I poke him on the neck. He is in a trance and doesn't appear to feel anything. Jody taps him on his cheeks to wake him up. It's like, yeah, no shit. He's freaking disassociating probably because he's so traumatized.
Yeah, well, I know he's probably in like, if you're that dehydrated, like yeah. You can turn into like almost a hallucinogenic state. And then mm-hmm. on top of that, you're delirious. They're like, oh, he doesn't respond to anything. Yeah. No shit. Well, like, that's because his literal neurological system has shut down.
It's so sad. Then the mother then asked her son if he knew that his family and savior loved him before pouring mop water on him after he continued to stay in the shade. I take my mop water and go to R, she wrote. I show R the water, then I pour the water on R. It's hot outside. It feels good, doesn't it? On the same day, Frankie wrote about her son being pushed in a pool. Then she detailed putting her hands on his face and asking if he's ever heard someone talk underwater. So she would basically like force him underwater and like hold him underwater and keep her hands. It's crazy.
I get what you mean that you want to punch this broad in the face.
Dude, I know. And just like every time I see pictures of her, I'm just like, oh, you frustrate me so much. So disgusting. And people are saying like, oh, Jody like started all this. She manipulated Ruby into doing this. And that may be, there may be some truth to that.
Amplified.
As a mother, where does the instinct come in? Where does the common sense come in that you would treat your kids this way and let them be severely traumatized?
Well, like you had pointed out early on, she was kind of a shitty parent from Jump Street anyways. Oh, like yeah. She was already doing terrible things to him. So I'm sure what Jody saw was, oh, I'm going to exploit this situation even further because I like to manipulate people and have control. She's already a shitty parent doing terrible things to our kids. Let's see how far we can take this.
Yeah. So the abuse eventually got so bad that the 12-year-old son, R, as we call him, he's the oldest one in this situation. He eventually got so sick of it that he found a way to escape and ran away. So he had ran away one time before, and that's why they didn't let him have shoes.
Because that's it was where the shoe thing comes in. Okay.
Yeah, so the shoes were taken away because it was too hot to really be running through the desert without shoes. So the Ring doorbell footage of this just came out as well on TikTok, and it is so sad. He went to two different houses. He went to one. Nobody answered. They had to blur like half of his body because he's so skinny and cut up and it's so disturbing. Like they couldn't even show it on TV. He's 12. His legs are literally the size of Roman's.
Who's seven
and very small for his age. I feel like Roman's just like a tiny little kid naturally. This kid's legs were like sticks. He was extremely malnourished. So he eventually got the courage to run away. Thank heavens he did. He went to a second house and rang the doorbell. And when the person was talking to him through the doorbell, he was like, hey, what do you want? Like, do you need something? And he's like, yeah, I just want to ask you a favor. Could you take me to a police station? And the man says, why? What's going on? Like, why do you need to go to a police station? And he said, oh, it's a personal matter. Like, the kid was afraid to tell anybody.
Wow.
So then the homeowner comes out and sees this kid is in horrible condition. He's super skinny, malnourished. He had lacerations almost to the bone on both his wrists and ankles from being restrained with ropes. And then those lacerations were covered with duct tape. And it was later said that to, quote, treat the wounds, his mom would put honey and what is that spice?
Like turmeric or something?
No, it's like red pepper.
Red pepper on an open wound?
Yeah, it was like honey,
like cayenne or something?
Cayenne.
I thought I wrote it down. Oh my gosh.
So she put a mixture of honey and cayenne pepper on the wound. I don't know if they thought that was going to sterilize it.
I'm sure it had to have burned like hell.
I'm sure it did, but that's how they were, quote, treating it. Okay.
Treating your inflicted wounds.
Yeah, so this guy comes out and he's like, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. He's like, what's going on? They call the police. His wife is there too. The 911 call has been like all over the internet. It's really sad. The guy that calls 911 actually like starts crying on the phone. It was so upsetting to him, saying like, oh, we need an ambulance here now. This kid has been obviously very neglected. He's been abused. He's got severe wounds. So on the Ring doorbell footage, as he's calling the ambulance, his wife is out there too, like consoling the 12-year-old, and she got him some food and water. Oh, the video is so sad.
I have goosebumbs right now.
This
I haven't
was
even
the
seen
saddest
it,
video
just...
out of all of them. I'm not gonna lie. I had to take a break after I watched that one. It was rough. It was so sad.
It's making me borderline emotional, and I'm not even that emotional.
So yeah. So then the ambulance comes, and the mom was pissed. The mom of like the household, she was raging, and I would be too. I'd have to go over there and freaking beat up Ruby. But anyway, so the ambulance comes, takes him. They put these kids on a medical hold. Like I said, all the videos of this kid, half of him is blurred. Obviously, they blur his face to protect his identity, but they had to blur a lot of him out because it's just so disturbing. He's so skinny and messed up. So obviously, after that, they go to the house. They arrest the mom, Ruby Frankie, and Jody Hildebrand. They both get arrested. While they're there, they find the 10-year-old girl hiding in a closet, and her head was shaved. And she would not talk to police officers or DCFS or anybody for hours. They could not convince her to eat. They could not convince her to talk to them or to leave the closet because she had been so brainwashed into thinking that she was bad and that she deserved it. Like, these kids both thought on some level that they deserved that treatment. Like, there was something wrong with them. Because one of the things they kept doing is they kept saying to them repeatedly, like, you're a sinner. You need to repent for things. You've been doing bad things. I know you have. And they would withhold food from them until they came up with something to repent for, which is something I believe that Jody Hildebrand's niece also talked about happened to her as well. So she would just like make up stuff that she had done.
It's like, even if it hadn't happened, she's like, oh, I must have said a bad word yesterday.
Because if you were like, oh, I haven't done anything, I can't think of anything, she'd be like, you're lying, yes, you have. So then they just like, you are forced to just like make something up bad that you've done so that you can, quote, repent for it, and then they would give you food.
Wow.
So she thought, like, on some level, like, I need to be in here. I'm not allowed to eat. I can't talk to you. Anytime a police officer shows up to a case like this and the child is unwilling to speak to officers, that's always a red flag.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've always, like, been coached to not... It's like, that's just a red flag. That's not normal behavior. Like,
not at all.
She obviously was told something. So anyway, the reason why her head was shaved is because she apparently was misbehaving. Ruby talked about that in another one of her journal entries, saying that if her daughter, like, had an attitude with her or made a face or anything, that she would be punished by getting her head shaved. So she took her to the dog wash, shaved her head, and then, like, hosed her down with water as a punishment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And as a 10-year-old girl, that's devastating. Like, as a girl, like, your hair is so important to you. It's part of your identity. And you're kind of so insecure at that time in your life anyway, as a girl, like 10 to 12, you're just like kind of awkward and like, I feel like a little insecure. So that would just be devastating to have your head shaved. That alone is abuse, in my opinion. That's too much. So after like 4 hours of police officers and paramedics and DCFS and stuff talking to this girl, they finally convinced her to eat a pizza. They got her like a little personal pan pizza and she finally ate it. But yeah, she felt like she like wasn't allowed to.
So sad.
It's so crazy. So needless to say, they both went to jail. Not long enough, in my opinion. It seems as though Ruby may have now kind of come to the realization that, oh, shit, like, I was manipulated. I was on the wrong path, because she did actually show a lot of emotion during the trial when she was getting sentenced and did apologize and stuff like that. Maybe it's sincere, maybe it isn't. I still think she deserves to be in jail for a super long time, because it's just like, hello, you have eyeballs. Even if you're being manipulated by this person, you can see that your kid has a wound that's almost to the bone and bleeding. Why are we restraining kids by the wrists and ankles? Like, I'm just very confused. It gets me so fired up.
Yeah, well, I mean, it all goes back to the fact that she was publicly, through YouTube, showing the world that she was already kind of a shitty person and mom. Like, I'm not, and I don't say that lightly. I am never a person to really talk about anyone's parenting or anything like that. Like, that's on you. You raise your kids how you want it. But like, when you're doing shit like that, that really frustrates me. And I feel like you deserve to be called a shitty parent.
Yeah. And I forgot to mention too, like in the beginning when she just had her YouTube channel before she was in cahoots with Jody Hildebrandt, a lot of the YouTube viewers, they actually came together and started a petition that a bunch of people signed in order to like get them investigated, because so many people were alarmed by what was going on YouTube and what they saw. And another, it wasn't just YouTube viewers, it was also people in the neighborhood that were very concerned and had called DCFS multiple times as well, because they had noticed that the young kids were left alone for days at a time.
Like, what do you mean? Like, parents would go on vacation or something like that, and they would just, like, leave all their kids at home?
So her original house was not, Ruby's house is not in southern Utah, or, like, not in, like, St. George area. Mm-hmm. That's where, I can't remember where she lived, but that's where Jody lives. So she would go down to be with Jody, and she would leave the kids for, like, 4 or 5 days at the house.
Oh, like, not with the dad, but this was, like, during separation, she would leave them at the house and go.
Yeah, I guess so. She would just leave.
Be brainwashed by.
Yeah, for four or five days.
And Jody?
Yeah, her name's Jody.
Jody.
So it's like, who does that? And they would just, like, be left alone, like, running amok, not being watched. So, like, yeah, they were getting cops called on them all the time.
Probably the best time of their life, honestly. They didn't have to deal with their mom.
I know. Honestly, probably was.
They actually, like, I mean, they probably had to go scavenge for food, because Ruby probably didn't leave them any food in the house, but at least they didn't have to deal with the daily punishments, berating, being bound with rope and everything.
And even before, when it was just the YouTube days, she would still withhold food from them, but just not as extreme. Like, she would make them, like, do stuff first before she'd feed them. Like, do all your chores first before you can eat breakfast. I think that's so weird. There's a difference between a want and a need. Like, you need food and you need water. A want is a video game, like, or an iPad or a toy or an experience. Take that away. You should not be taking away food.
Basic necessities.
That's a necessity, especially when you're a little kid and you're growing.
How about just their general health when it comes to, like, water and, you know, I don't know, not sunburning the shit out of your kid?
Right. Call me crazy. I don't know. I must be losing my mind. So anyway, she was arrested in August 2023 in Washington County, Utah, and was charged with 6 counts of aggravated child abuse. So not just like regular child abuse, not child neglect, aggravated child abuse. Both women pleaded guilty to 4 counts of second degree aggravated child abuse in December of 2023 and were sentenced to the maximum sentence per Utah guidelines, which is 4 to 30 years, which is a huge gap.
Yeah.
4 to 30 years. It better be 30 years.
I doubt it. And the hard thing about it is that, I mean, it sounds like they took a plea deal, right? They took a plea deal that it was second degree, even though if they would have pleaded innocent, it would have gone to court, and court probably would have tried to slam them with a first degree. And that's always worse because that's premeditated.
Yeah. They didn't want to go to trial. When they spoke at the sentencing, one thing that Jody said that made me roll my eyes so hard they almost popped out of my skull is when she was saying how she took the plea deal because I genuinely love these kids. I can't even talk her voice normal. And I don't want them to go through more trauma by having to testify in court.
Because that's the most traumatic part, for sure. Yeah,
they don't, that's not it. It's because a jury would slaughter you.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Related to, aggravated child abuse in the first degree.
People don't have tolerance for that.
No, that jury is coming in, and I doubt they can do it, but they're looking for the death sentence.
Yeah, they can't do it for that, because this is the maximum sentence per Utah guidelines.
Well, that's the maximum sentence per Utah guidelines for second-degree aggravated assault.
Yeah, I guess.
First degree probably would be a 25 to life or something like that.
I don't know. I didn't look that up. I didn't even think to look that up, honestly. But
look it up, people.
So when she got arrested, they ended up calling the dad, who, reminder, hadn't seen his kids in over a year. The police station calls him and is like, hey, we need you to come pick up your kids at this police station. And he was obviously confused and was like, huh, weird, why? Like, he didn't know what it was for, but he wasn't expecting this. I watched the footage. I always want to say dash cam, but that's not what it is.
The body cam.
Why can't I get it right?
I don't know.
And it's technically probably not body cam, because it's like when they're in the little interrogation room, how they film everything.
Oh, yeah. So that'd be more like an interrogation room cam. Oh,
okay. Glad I have you here, Mitch. We record these at night, and it's been a long day. So the camera that was recording him, that just came out for when they were talking about this, and he did act very surprised and flabbergasted. I do feel like his reaction didn't quite meet the appropriate standard of flabbergastedness. My gaster is flabbered. Like, I don't know.
Was it so he too much or not enough?
Not enough. I mean, he was surprised and he was like, wait,
maybe
what are you
shocked a little bit? And
yeah,
like,
he was like, wait, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't know any of this was going on. What do you mean? Where are they? I haven't talked to them in over a year. But he was more concerned with his wife. He was more so like, oh, is Ruby going to go to jail? What's going to happen to her? Is she going to be prosecuted? I love my wife. And he asked very little about his kids. He was more surprised, but he wasn't really concerned about them. I don't know. I just felt like the reaction was very odd. And that's also what everybody in the comment section was saying.
Having a hard time with that. Give your balls a tug, guy.
Yeah, so he has filed for divorce now that Ruby is going to jail. Obviously, that would be stupid if he didn't. But, I mean, I just can't imagine her getting out in 4 years. Like, that is wild. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I wanted to drag her name through the mud, and I want people to know about this case, because if that bitch is out in 4 years, like, people need to know what happened and what she did, and it was so unacceptable. I feel very, very strongly that if that 12-year-old didn't run away, somebody would have died eventually.
Yeah, like malnourishment or something like that.
Or just severe abuse. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason, or just like severe dehydration, and part of the reason, too, that makes me feel that way, A, is because it's so similar to the Sins of Our Mother, Lori Vallow case. And another reason is because Ruby and Jody had plans to buy a property somewhere in Arizona like more kind of out in the middle of nowhere so that they could further this.
They were looking for a compound away.
Kind of, yeah. It's like they wanted to be away from everybody. And I feel like if they would have made that happen, somebody would have died. I feel like it would have really escalated. So I'm glad that it finally, that they finally got out and survived. But I mean, those kids are going to be messed up for years to come. Like that's, they're going to have trauma for a long time.
It's so sad. It's so, so sad for, I feel so bad for those kids. And you just want to, I really hope that there is, I guess just brighter days in the near future for them.
Yeah. I hope the best for them. They're in the state's custody right now. The dad still doesn't have custody of them.
Probably needs to be evaluated.
So it does need to be evaluated for sure. And that's, I think the thing is that they are kind of investigating him and making sure that if they do go back to him, they'll be okay. But yeah, as of right now, they are in the state's custody. So yeah, I think that's all I have. Sorry that it was so dark. It's just so interesting though, too. It's just so crazy. Like these religious extremism cases are very interesting to me. And it's just wild. I don't know. And the way she looks, she just looks like every other mom. I don't know. Like, she just looks like every other mom. She's like blonde and looks like a mommy blogger. It's just odd.
Do you mean that, I guess I need you to clarify, you mean that in like a negative way or just like it's hard because you look at her and you don't think that she is such a horrible person? Like what's the...
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean it in a negative way necessarily. I mean, her face does annoy me to the point that I want to give her a knuckle sandwich, but you wouldn't look at her and be like, oh, that lady looks like she's cracked out. She looks like she's like at first snap judgments, just like on appearance and stuff. You wouldn't think anything. She just looks like a typical 40-year-old mom. I don't know. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just shocking that the abuse was this severe, I guess.
Yeah, I get that. No, I get you. I think you hit the nail on the head because you said that it's shocking. You look at her and she just looks,
like, aside very
from
unassuming.
Aside from her face that you want to punch,
yeah,
for whatever reason, she still just seems like a normal person on the street. She doesn't have that, I don't know, that look about her where you would think that she's doing all this shitty stuff behind closed doors to her own kids.
Yeah, and I don't know what someone like that really even looks like, I guess. I don't know. Sometimes when you see, like, I guess when I've seen, like, articles in the past of, like, a severe case of child abuse, when you look up the parent's mugshot, you're like, oh, okay, that tracks.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, you're just kind of like, oh, yeah, they look like they've seen rough days. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
This just they've, was surprising.
They've definitely done a few rounds of meth.
Yeah, something like that.
Or like the Florida man's. It's like, you're like, oh yeah, that guy looks like he was tackling gators.
Yeah, exactly.
In the middle of the freeway in Miami.
Yeah. So yeah, woo. It's been exhausting to research this topic though and come up with a coherent thought and figuring out where to start. I had to keep taking breaks because it's just, it's a heavy one.
It is.
Yeah.
It's
next,
a lot.
Next time I'll have a way more lighthearted one. They're not all going to be heavy like this, but it is a very interesting case nonetheless. And not as heavy as it could have been because the kids
survived. Luckily R ran away.
Actually, I forgot to mention this, that her oldest daughter, Sherry, did make a comment when her mom was arrested. It said, I wanted to read this. It says, following Ruby's arrest, her estranged daughter Sherry took to Instagram to say that she and her family are so glad that justice is being served, claiming they've been trying to tell police and CPS for years about this. Ruby's sister shared similar sentiments in a joint statement that said the two arrests, quote, needed to happen. So her family was on board with her being arrested. They were like, yeah, she's messed up.
Clearly. I mean, it's there's just no words when you hear stuff like this in the news, on TikTok, whatever else. It's really hard, especially with kids. I know that, you know, we like to watch some true crime stuff before going to bed, but it's like when you're getting ready to watch Criminal Minds and the episode is completely about something with kids, we're like, hard pass there. Next episode.
Yeah, in the description, it's like, someone's kid gets kidnapped. I'm like, out. I'm out.
We don't need to watch that at 9:30 at night as we're winding down for the night.
No, I don't like that. I do not.
I think that... So I actually had some stuff planned here. But I think what I'm going to do is leave everyone on a little bit of a cliffhanger.
Yeah, because we don't want it to be too long.
Yeah, we'll pick this up the next episode.
Sorry I took so much time.
No, this was great. And I appreciate your preparation. There was a lot there. But I'm going to hold on this.
Okay.
What I will say prior to closing things out today is that... as I was listening to your story and trying to piece things together, frustrated for sure that something couldn't be done so much sooner, it made me think of just like, it makes you want to wish that there was just somebody or something, some organization that could intervene sooner.
Yeah.
Right? A vigilante, if you will.
Yeah.
And I'll just, I'll leave that right there. We'll let that one marinate.
Okay.
Can't wait to pick up where we left off for the next episode because
same.
I feel like I do have some exciting stuff.
I know. I was actually excited to hear yours. But like I said, this topic just has so much to it. I could go on if you really dove deep into it and got all the information, like... it could go on for hours, so...
I mean, we've talked about it for hours.
I've been talking about it for months.
That's
I'm
what I mean.
Out.
Like, months, but like in hour increments, right? We're just like, oh my gosh, now this, now this. Yeah. What the hell else is there?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that things will continue to unfold, because it always does. I mean, even though they're in jail, I feel like there'll be more things released that maybe weren't identified as evidence in the case. Or... Like you had shared the journal notes and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure they got through a lot of them.
And all that.
But it's just a lot. And so, I mean, I don't know what the answer is because this happens way too much.
Yeah.
The kids don't deserve it. But I guess just...
I think people need to have common sense for one thing.
That helps.
The dad should have been checking on him. I think the siblings should have been checking on him, like not to put blame on anyone or
right.
make them feel guilty. But like, if I knew my mom was crazy, and she's not, by the way, don't be mad. Don't think I'm saying that, mom. She listens.
We're not saying that, mom.
We're not saying that. If I had a crazy mom and abuse happened in the home and I was estranged, but I had like these younger siblings there, I would feel the need to like check on them. I don't know. The dad for sure should have been checking on them.
I'm frustrated
They obviously weren't in school. They're being, quote, homeschooled. I feel like if kids are homeschooled, there needs to be some type of check on them because they just fall through the cracks sometimes and get like they're so under the radar. Like, I feel like just things need to be. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not in that system or world. I know it's hard. I know that like social workers and child protective services and police and all that, they're so overworked and a lot of times underpaid, and there's just so much. It's like an uphill battle, but it's like, damn, like I feel like you didn't have to get to this point.
You have to appreciate the work that people try to put in, but unfortunately the system, I say the system in a very generic term, but you had alluded to the fact that Child Protective Services had shown up several times in the teens even, but they could not intervene or prosecute because there wasn't anything immediately wrong.
Yeah, they weren't like in immediate danger. There wasn't like signs of abuse going on.
And that's what's hard. I mean, like, what do you... I guess is... we could probably do a little more research just to figure out like what the parameters are, but it's, you know, if people are calling regularly, you know, like if you just have the one off or whatever, because they think something might be weird, check on them. If everything seems kosher, then fine. But like when you have repeated offenders, what do they have to see in order to like actually intervene and take these kids away? They got to like open the front door unannounced to watch her backhand a kid.
Well, it's always unannounced when they stop by.
Well, I just mean like unannounced, but they still got to knock on the door. It's not like they have a warrant where they can kick the door in. So I was like, oh, you know, it's unannounced, but we knocked on the door, and then, you know, mom or friend, we won't say mom or dad, but just like Ruby's like doing her hair really quick, and all of a sudden she's like, oh no, everything's perfect here. I don't know why you're even here. That's so weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I think she was warned. But it's like, hello, what is she thinking too? Because like she knew she was on the radar. She had been warned like, hey, you can't leave them for days at a time. You need to be watching them more. Like they're stopping by on a regular basis. She just like literally didn't think that she was doing anything wrong. Because when she was arrested and she was in that room, like the interrogation room or whatever, when the footage came out of that, oh my gosh, I could break this pencil right now that I'm holding. It's so, this self-control that the police officers have in that moment to not jump across the table. It's crazy. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, I couldn't do it. Because she's sitting there with this annoying ass look on her face, just slow blinking.
Ooh, I know how you hate a slow blink.
She's doing the slow blink and not saying anything. They're asking her questions and she just sits there with this smug ass look on her face, slow blinking and not saying anything. And she's like, then finally she says, I want a lawyer. And they keep asking her questions and she's like, I've already given you my answer. Like just so smug. Like she just, you can tell that she just thinks like. Just
almost like condescending and conceited. Like,
yeah. Like I'm not going to get in trouble
here. I'm just going to walk away from here.
Just the look on her face. I'm telling you, I would have to go across the table. Like I just, they practice a lot of self-control. I'm sure they had to go home and like hit a punching bag that night or something. So.
Great stress reliever.
Yeah, it hurts my hand to do that. I've tried it.
Yeah, well, you got to get some gloves, like legitimate gloves. You can probably fit in Romans.
Yeah, actually, I think they fit
your little mitts.
Yeah, my little mitts. So to lighten things up. Yeah.
I mean, don't be a shitbag. I think that's in closing.
Yeah, in closing, have common sense. Don't be a shitbag. Don't abuse your kids. Just throwing that out there. Do we want to talk about Love is Blind or has that ship sailed?
You know, I think to touch base, it can't hurt. There was a lot on the, what do they call it? The reunion?
Yeah, that's what they're called.
Sorry, I couldn't think of the word. I was struggling there. But I feel like it was, well, Trevor was a douche.
So bad.
I feel like they spent a lot of time in areas that didn't matter as much.
Yeah.
You know, yes, they spent a lot of time talking to Trevor. They spent a lot of time talking about Clay, for instance. But, like, they really should have spent a lot more time with Jimmy. And
they didn't even address that.
And especially also... what was it? Kenneth and I don't remember her name.
Brittany?
Yeah, because they were just like gone after like episode 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Just like MIA the rest of the season.
I mean, she basically was like, yeah, he's my gay best friend now. I feel like is what she's saying without saying it. For real. I think that's the case. But yeah, they never really like said if Jimmy and Chelsea are together now or not. Like,
I don't think they are.
They were very touchy.
They were, but like, I feel like there had to have been some sort of, you know, they obviously had a connection. They obviously have an element of love for one another. But I also think Jimmy especially knew that her volatility and erratic emotions was too much for him to handle in the long term. So it was like he has a care for her, and it sounds like they may be good friends, and he wants to console her when she's upset, but he also knows that you're not my girl for life.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, because they didn't address it.
They didn't. I'm sure you could go find it on Instagram.
Probably. My highlights are, I feel really bad for AD that Clay said no.
Yeah.
That was so sad. I really like her. She keeps it super real, and I like people like that, and I like that she calls people out. He's so dumb, and I think he just, like, didn't realize how dumb he is, and that was a huge mistake, and now he does.
I think he realized after the fact that after he fumbled big time.
Yeah, he did. A lot of people are kind of giving him hate. They don't really like him. I actually like him. I think they're cute together. And at least he owned his shit on the reunion. I was like, yeah, I messed up. And I'm in therapy now. And I do think I made a mistake. Like, he at least owned it. Whereas Trevor pissed me off so bad. Because he was just sitting there like a little shaking chihuahua. He looked like a little shivering chihuahua. Like, oh, I'm this big man. And I lift all these weights. But then I'm going to get called out. And I'm just going to sit here with my head down and act like a victim. Like, that just really annoys me.
The victim,
like,
mentality was rough.
Yeah, that pissed me off.
And anyway, he knew. That's the whole frustrating thing is, like, they called him out on all the things that he knew. He was already in this weird, won't call it a relationship, it was talking to a girl, literally while he was on his way.
She thought they were in a relationship, I'm
she
pretty
definitely
sure.
Did.
So, I don't know what was going on there.
It was a real weird situation.
Anyway, it was a good season though. I enjoyed it, and maybe we'll see him out in the real world. I don't know.
Well, there's a few.
We don't
of them.
Go out much.
Yeah, we're not going to see him in Charlotte. We don't head that far south end.
Yeah, we don't go to south end much. That's where all the cool people go.
Yeah, but no, I think that we can probably wrap it up here, right?
Yeah, I hope so, because I'm tired.
Yeah, well,
sorry, excited for next time, so I don't have to talk so much.
Yeah, I'm not going to take up the full time like you did. I still need your input here, but
okay.
We're still having a lot of fun doing this. Again, appreciate everybody that is listening in, leaving comments, subscribing, all that type of stuff. Share with your friends.
Yep, share with your friends.
We're trying to grow, and I think that next episode should be pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'll definitely pick a lighter topic next time.
I don't know if mine's lighter.
Yours is
what
not
I
lighter,
compared.
Really, but I'll pick something lighthearted.
But you'll understand if you've listened to episode 5 and then you go into episode 6 why I was prepared to talk about what I'm prepared to talk about.
All right, cool. Well, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, pretty excited. Appreciate everybody.
Yep.
And we'll see you next time.
Okay, bye.
Thanks.